This is the Action Movie Guys Podcast, bringing you action movie reviews from across the decades, plus box office numbers and insight like never before. And now, your hosts of the Action Movie Guys Podcast, Alex and Nate.
What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode number 76 of the Action Movie Guys Podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and as my co-host,
Alex Figueroa.
And this week, we are doing... So we started a new franchise in our last episode. Now, this episode is we're continuing on with our patron voted on films. Now, a couple weeks ago, we began this, the patron voting. So far, we have done The Raid Redemption, which was from our patron, Jay. He's the main man, and he picked The Raid. It was great. Then Robert, another one of our patrons, he picked a movie that we couldn't find. So he picked a second movie, which ended up being Blue Thunder. We reviewed that. And then last week, Stephanie from I'll Buy the Popcorn here on YouTube, we did her movie, which was, of course, Cradle to the Grave, starring DMX and Jet Li. Yeah. That was a fun time. And now this week, as I mentioned last week, we have our original patron. Actually, I believe she was the first one who ever signed up. Beckish, she voted for a little movie. Now, this was the first time watch for you. I already know that. Called The Long Kiss Goodnight, directed by Renny Harlin and written by Shane Black. You didn't know that when you went to watch it. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be reviewing that. And then next week, we will wrap it up with our final Patreon pick. So all that, get it out the way. We're about to go over some box office numbers, and we're going to go over some critical score. But before we do any of that, if you are watching on YouTube, please make sure you hit that like button down below. Comment, do you like The Long Kiss Goodnight? Is it a movie that you like to see, or did you not like it? Give us your ratings. Give us your scores. Make sure you subscribe to the channel. And if you're listening to us on the go, make sure you are set up for your auto downloads, whether it be on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn Radio, wherever you listen to us, make sure you're subscribed so you get those downloads. Two episodes every single week. All right. Got all the housekeeping out of the way. Alex,
yes.
First time watch for you, correct? Yeah. You've never even come across this like on TV or nothing?
No. I mean, I know the two actors that were in the film, but I never seen what the film is about. So
this was my first time seeing it in, I don't know, years. It's been years. I didn't really remember a lot of it when I went to watch it. I'll tell the truth. So I was like, I know Gina Davis is in this. I know Samuel Jackson's in this. I know they were snowing. That's all I really remembered. So this was a pretty good rewatch. For it was almost like a first time watch. Now, before we get into it, how much money did this movie make back in 1996?
All right. So let's get into the box office numbers of The Long Kiss Goodnight. 1996, domestic $33 million, international $56 million, on the worldwide total $89 million, on a budget of $65 million.
That explains it. You know, I was going to ask a question, and I'll still ask it when we get to the review, but this explains it. Okay, so it made a little bit more. You know, I don't remember marketing from when I was a kid being like crazy for this movie, so they probably didn't spend a lot on it. So it made it $20 million. I mean, it wasn't a loss. You know what I mean? Yeah, right. I guess. Anyway, how did it do with the critics? And how did the fans like this movie, according to Rotten Tomatoes? So this is one of those rare ones, which actually has been popping up lately on some of our reviews, where the critics and the audience is the same exact score. I don't know, we did like 65 episodes where it never happened. And now all of a sudden, every other week, this thing, there's a movie with the same score. So this has a 70% with critics and a 70% with audience.
Wow.
So it's a well-liked and well-reviewed movie, you know, box office notwithstanding.
Yeah, it's weird, right? Because we're already up to 76 episodes, right? And most of these ratings are always one higher than the other. So it's kind of rare when you get the even slate across the board from critics and audience. So let's see if they're right. So let's throw all those numbers out.
But what I'm saying is the last 3 weeks, we've had it. Raid Redemption had an 87 and an 87. Okay. Expendables 2 had a 66, a 67 and a 67. And now this one, a 70 and a 70. And that's rare. Like, it almost never happens, but all of a sudden, every other week, it's happening. But
we're picking
who cares,
the
right? Who cares? It doesn't matter because we're going to tell you our scores. And we don't even care about Rotten Tomatoes. We're just giving you some background information. That's all.
Yeah, pretty much. All right.
So let's get right to it. We're going to get right to it. So lead character, played by one Gina Davis. Mm. Alex, you got to go first. It's my hosting episode, so I'm very excited to see what you think.
All right, so Gina Davis plays a split personality character. Now, when I started to watch this movie, and I'm not going to go into the storyline as much, but in terms of the character, I started to get hit with like tons of action spy movies. I got hit with Assault. I got hit with the Bournes, Because it was straight Bourne. When it, I was like, wait a minute, this is Bourne Identity. When she, when he forgot he got the amnesia, when he fell off the boat, when he got shot. It's exactly the same story. But for those of you out there, Bourne Identity came out in 2002, while this movie was 96. So technically, this is the first movie with these storylines. But Identity was a book. So I don't want people to be like, oh, it's a book first. I don't know when it was published. So with that said,
I don't either. I don't know when the
Bourne Identity was published. But in terms of a movie, this movie came out first with that storyline. So I'm going to throw all those movies to the side. But it reminded me of those. I got to say, I kind of enjoyed the character. I like how she went from being a household mom because she was, amnesia kicked in. And then it became more of a spy more later down the road. But is Gina Davis an action star? That's the thing that I was sitting down and watching. I cannot back that up, man. I couldn't get into it. I just kept seeing the Beetlejuice Gina Davis in that's all I remember her for. And it's funny because I watched this with my wife, so she watches it more for like those dramas, like those political drama movies that she's in. But this was kind of weird for me. Like, this is my first movie of Gina Davis doing an action movie. I'd never seen her in action.
Cutthroat Island?
Nope. I never seen Cutthroat Island. So this
came
is
out
my
a year
first.
Before this.
Okay. Yeah. So this is my first action movie. It was kind of weird, but she did very well. I thought she was really good. She didn't do much hand to hand, like how we got the action movies now with the females. They're more hands on fighting. This was more shooting. More spy-ish. It's a mystery, right? It was like a mystery action style of movie. So I gave her a 4. I thought she was really good, especially with her, with Samuel Jackson, was really good. I mean, we could talk a little bit about him. I liked him in this movie. He was a typical Samuel Jackson in like every movie that he does, all the cursing. And he was like,
but he was a little like nicer in this movie than he is in most of his other. He didn't come off as a prick in this movie like he can. Which he's amazing at, by the way. He's one of the best, like, angry black characters. You know what I mean? Like, angry black man characters. Mm-hmm. He does it better than anyone. But he wasn't that in this quite. He was, like, a real good guy.
Yeah, but you got that a little bit, though. In the beginning of the movie, when he was the cop.
Like, he's shady, right? Like, okay, he makes his money shady ways. But he wasn't a total, jerk. He was pretty much a good guy. He did want to kind of fix his life. You know the scene with the kid, with his son. Mm-hmm. And, so he's like a good guy with some tendencies to be a little bit of a bad guy. I agree with you. I liked him.
I liked him, too. The only thing I was a little confused with his character was he the informant for her? Like, did they work together? Because my thing is he was a private detective, right? Whatever. He searches for people. And then all of a sudden she came out of the woodwork and all of a sudden I'm going to go and find this chick. Like, he was always looking for her. Did they always work together or it was just one of those things?
I don't know. Maybe we talk about it when we get to the story.
Yeah, my bad. I know. My bad. All right. In terms of the lead character, I give it a 4.
I don't want to spend too much time so we can move on. But I will say this. I like Gina Davis in this movie. I she's not like one of my favorite actresses. Like, she's in a bunch of movies I like. Like, I like The League of Their Own, Beetlejuice, this one, the other one. I don't know. I'm pretty sure there's another Gina Davis. Earth Girls Are Easy. That was a pretty good movie with Jeff Goldblum and Jim Carrey. Yeah, I already said that. Oh, The Fly. Yeah, I like her in The Fly. She's a good actress.
Yeah.
How's this character? The character's cool. You're right. There were sprinkles of other stuff, but it's stuff that this came out before. So the amnesiac type thing. I think she did a good job. I liked her as I agree with you. I think she's more believable as the mom, like as the homemaker teacher character, than she is as like the super spy person when she cuts her hair and dyes it and tries to be all like sexy and tough. But I like the character. We're writing the character more so than necessarily the actress. I think Gina Davis did her best. I think she did a good enough job, but I like the character. I think she was an interesting character. I also gave her a 4.
Okay.
I'm right there with you on that. Okay.
Okay. Wait, before I found the information on the book. So Bourne Identity by Robert Lindem, I hope I said his name right, came out February of 1980.
Well,
Oh, so that's
maybe
that's
Shane Black never read it. I don't know.
No, I'm just saying that just for those out there that are trying to figure it out. 1980 came out, the original Born Identity by Robert Lind. I hope I said his damn
Ludlum or something.
Ludlum. He's the one that wrote the first book. So there you go. And then the movie came out 2002 when he sold the rights like a dummy. All right, let's go.
Okay. Okay, main villain. Now you asked me who it was. Yes. I don't know his name. Maybe you have
Timothy.
It in front of you. I don't know either. Timothy. Okay, yes. The main villain in this movie is Timothy. Tell us about him.
All right, Timothy, I'm going to be honest with you. He wasn't through this whole movie at all. He was. You know what made this movie a little bit weird was I felt like everyone was a bad guy. I didn't know who, like, it was weird in terms, like, I didn't know Samuel Jackson had a motive. I didn't know the guy that played, that created Wolverine was the bad guy.
Oh, yeah, Brian Cox.
Yeah, Brian Cox. I didn't
that
know.
That guy's been old forever.
Yeah, he's been,
why
was
he
old? I was going to say
movie?
That.
Been old forever.
Yeah, and you know what's funny? He was in a Bourne movie, in Bourne Supremacy. When he had to bring, he put Jason Bourne together. Anyway, I didn't know who was what. But anyway, Timothy's the bad guy because he is the main dude. He was weird. He was a typical over-the-top villain, I guess. He kills anybody without question. I liked him. He was okay. I gave him a 3.5. I thought he was good. He wasn't great villain. Like, he wasn't throughout the whole movie.
Now,
yeah.
I don't even think we scored the same person, to be honest with you. Did you? Is Timothy the guy who she ends up telling him, that's your daughter?
Yes, that's Timothy.
Oh, I scored his, like, handler guy, the CIA guy, old guy.
No, the guy Timothy's the main villain.
He was like a henchman. I looked at him more of like a main henchman.
Oh, Lord almighty,
because
he's the main
other
dude.
Guy, well, you got to look at it this way. Here's how I'm looking at the movie. So... The CIA guy is the one who is sending all these people to go kill her. He's the one who he wanted to blow. He blew up the World Trade Center. So CIA could get money. He was more of the master planner. So I scored him, which is fine. You know what?
If I score him, I will give that old guy a 2 because guy stunk. Timothy, I gave him a 3.5.
Okay. Well, I scored the CIA guy. I gave him a 1. He's a terrible villain. He's just an old guy. I feel like this was the only weak part of the movie.
Yeah,
was that he's suck. Like, I don't like that kind of villain anyway. You know, he just has a bunch of henchmen do all the work for him. But you're right. Almost everyone that shows up, pretty sure was a bad guy. Like David Morse's character is a bad guy. Yeah. I still don't know if Brian Cox was really a bad guy because he drowns. And I don't know. I know he helped them. But I also don't know if he was going to try some shady stuff.
Yeah.
His name was Nathan, though. So I like that. That was pretty good. he wrote it in the book. I saw it. It's Nathan. So 1 point for that. But I don't know. He might be a bad guy. He might be a good guy. I don't know. Everyone's shades of gray. You know, even her. Like, she's the main person we're following. But she was also like an assassin. And she seemed like a jerk when she was like, the assassin version of her seemed like a real jerk. So everyone's kind of bad. That's why Samuel Jackson comes out looking the best out of everybody. He's like the least meanest person. Either way, if I scored the same guy as you, Timothy, I give him a 3. He was, at least he did stuff. You know, like he was more hands-on. He was going after her. He was trying to kill her, unlike the old guy. So I'll give him a 3. I give the CIA guy a 1.
What is the main one we're ranking on, though?
I'm just final. Sticking with the 1. I think
okay,
the CIA
so then I'll keep the 2. All right.
He's in charge. But he was terrible. He was.
You know what? I'll change it. I'm going to give him a 1, too, because he sucked. He's a 1.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Now, action scenes. So this is the Action Movie Guys podcast. How are the action scenes?
Yeah. So the action wasn't as crazy. I mean, in the beginning was... actually, I liked the beginning more. When the guy showed up with the shotgun with the carolers, I thought that was awesome. And then I thought that was a pretty cool sequence. And there is the perfect example of how I was like, Geena Davis is not an action star. Because that scene alone... felt weird. Like she wasn't even hand to hand. All she did was she slid. She just fought with him with the shotgun. She shot. They pushed. She threw. She started throwing pans at him. And I'm like, wait a minute. But if you're a spy, like I was still torn at that point because I'm like, is she still in the mom? Like
her muscle memory didn't kick all the way in. Yeah.
Yeah. So
she was cutting carrots and stuff, and then she's like, look at me, I'm a chef. She didn't even know she was a spy, though. She thought she was a chef.
Well, she threw the knife into the middle of a tomato at the wall. I mean, her muscle memory came back. But, I mean, I guess in that situation. But anyway, that was a cool sequence. I thought the car chase scene was pretty cool. I did not like her on the skates following the, when she got the two skates she was going against. That made no damn sense to me because I was like, these cars were like way ahead of you and you just got there in like 2 seconds, which I was like, it is what it is. The ending sequence was actually really cool where, I don't know, Shane Black is like so into this like one action scene of shooting the rope and the character grabs one gun and shoots because that's the same ending we got in Kiss Kiss Bang Bang with Robert Downey Jr. Remember that?
Shane Black.
Remember that scene?
I think we talked about his writing style. Like, all his movies are they're not exactly the same, but they all have a lot of similarities. And they're always Christmas time. This is like a secret Christmas movie.
I guess Lethal Weapon, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang.
We're going to have to bust out the Santa Claus ranking for this movie. I didn't even remember it being a Christmas movie.
I didn't either. I thought it was weird. But yeah, you know, there was a lot of similarities to other movies. Now that you talked about it, same kind of stuff throughout all his writing. Again, in terms of action, I enjoyed it for what it was. I gave it a 4.5. I thought it was a great action. I thought it was really good. I mean, we're not into storyline. That's different. But in terms of action, I was entertained with Gina Davis and what they gave her.
Right. So this was directed, of course, by Rennie Harlan,
okay,
who you might know from such action movies in the 90s as Die Hard 2, Cliffhanger with Sylvester Stallone, this, Cutthroat Island. You know, he's done some stuff. He also did a Nightmare on Elm Street movie. He did Deep Blue Sea, which is like a guilty pleasure. I like that movie. So, you know, I will stop short of saying he's a really good director. I do think he has pretty good style, though. I'll give him that. I think he's a pretty good stylist as far as his action set pieces. I like the action in the movie. There's lulls, but we're going to get to story in a second. I feel like the story carried it through, which you know, that works out when there's like stretches of non-action. This is not like a every 5 minutes action scene type movie. You know what I mean? It's characters, it's dialogue, it's storyline. And then there's like a shootout or something like that. I like the first shootout. I like the last shootout in the like hotel or whatever.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. When Samuel L. Jackson blasted out the window and then threw the sign.
Oh my God.
It was so funny.
he hit the tree.
He goes through the tree and he falls down. Hilarious. I like the end with the truck scene and the cars. Like, I thought it was all well done. I gave it a 4. You know, it's not, like I said, I saved my 5s for like the peak pinnacle of action. This is not that, but there's quality action spread throughout the movie. Mostly shooting. You're right. Not a lot of like fist fighting or anything like that. But the shootouts are well staged. The car chases are well staged. Some of the effects don't quite hold up, especially like with the fire and stuff and they're driving away. Like, it was a little bit cheesy. But you know what? It's a sign of the times. I don't really hold it against it. So I give it a 4. Okay, storyline.
Ah, yes, the storyline. Honestly, the storyline was pretty good. Some points was a little, it started to get slow, certain points. But it was a typical mystery spy movie, right? Like, when you watch all these spy movies, they all kind of the same formula. You got to get it did great in character development. That I got to say.
Yeah.
It did very good in that. I enjoyed the story. I don't want to stay too long because I know you want to break this down even more. I gave this a 4. I enjoyed the storyline for what it was. I thought it was really good.
So, you know what? I'm right there with you. I think this is a very well, in my opinion, a very well-written action movie.
Yeah.
The writing is good. Shane Black, you know, say what you want about him. I know he has fans, a lot of fans. I know he has some, you know, who are not big fans. He has tropes, but he makes very entertaining scripts. You know what I mean? Like, there's always humor. There's the same thing in this. It's always Christmas. There's always humor. I mean, he did a good job with the characters. I agree with you. The character development is good, especially with Gina Davis. She goes on a full-fledged, you know, journey through this movie. She starts off one way. She doesn't remember who she is. She wants to find out. It starts coming back a little bit here and there because, you know, she gets knocked in the head and she gets in a car crash and whatever. And, you know, and then, you know, when she has to deal with some stuff, right? Because when she finds out she's a spy and is like a killing machine, she also has a kid who she didn't want. She's like, I didn't want that kid. I had that kid when I was, you know, I thought I was a school teacher. So her character, she goes through a lot. And I like the whole progression. Like I said, I like Samuel Jackson. He's a good sidekick. I think it's very well written. I thought the storyline was the most interesting part of the movie, more than the action necessarily, which is fine. It's a good, entertaining movie. A little long, I agree with you. Did drag a little bit. It's 2 hours. Could have been about an hour 40.
Yeah.
I think that would have hit the sweet spot. But that's okay. As such, I gave it a 4.5.
Oh, wow.
I thought it was good. It's a good script. I like Shane Black in general. Yeah. I think he's a good writer.
Well,
you know, Predator, the Predator notwithstanding.
Predator wasn't Predator, good.
Notwithstanding, yeah. But, you know, you're talking about Lethal Weapon, this, yeah. Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, the other guys. Those are all very well written, very good movies. So I like them, but yeah, 4.5 for me. Okay, so overall.
Look, overall, this had great story, great character development, great action. I mean, there's nothing more I can say because the movie had everything that you enjoy if you're a spy fan, if you like mysteries. This was kind of a mystery if you want to find out who did this to her. She was shot in the head. I mean, that's how she got the she forgot everything. So she got
also hit. that deer kicked her right in the face.
Oh my god! No, it kicked the old dude. It kicked the old dude in the face.
But yeah. It had to touch her face too. It was like it was really dude.
Yeah, I mean,
hands.
And then he grabbed her boob. Remember, he was like, oh.
"Yeah, well, that's why she crashed because she was like, hey, don't do that." Smash! Deer comes in, kicks the dude in the face. She goes flying out the windshield.
Yeah,
and then she broke its neck. I said, "This is crazy." Crazy stuff happening.
It's crazy stuff. But you know, but there was other elements too of when she's talking to herself in the mirror. I thought that was pretty cool when she was like, "Oh, I'm gonna take over."
Oh, like her memory. Like the bad guy. Back
yeah. And I was like, okay, that's pretty cute. Look, I gave it a 4. I thought this movie was a great movie. I gave it a flat 4 for overall.
Very good. Yeah. You know what? Same. I'm right. Same score as you. I also have it as a 4. Look, we already broke it down. Great lead character. What I was going to say was, and the question was when we got to the box office, I'm really surprised there's no sequels to this movie because the character strikes me as a character that you can do a lot with in future films. Maybe the fact that it wasn't a big hit is why we didn't get another one. But if you're telling me you can't make another story where some other spy group or some other person that she did something to in the past doesn't come after her and she has to like call up Samuel Jackson for them to team up again, I'll call you a liar. I feel like it could have written itself, but I digress. There's only one of these movies and it's very good. I also gave it a 4. The only weakness for me was the villain. And that's just because we score main villain. Like, who's the one that made everything in motion? And he's terrible. Some of the henchmen are pretty good. There's a lot of bad guys. There's like 5 different people pretty much who try to kill her. So, and then all their like little military people or whatever. Good overall movie. I also gave it a 4. So what's your total score?
My total score is a 17.5 out of 25.
I have the same exact score, 17.5 out of 25. And the only reason, if it had a good villain, it would be like a 20 movie, you know, or 21. But because it's just an old dude who does nothing and just wants the CIA to get money, I don't like that. Very lame. So the villain is the only weakness, but otherwise it's a good movie.
You know, it's kind of funny that you said they could have did a sequel. I felt the same way with Salt, with Angelina Jolie, and we never got a sequel for that movie. And it was the same as this, right? She was a sleeper that had a husband or whatever, and then they came out of the woodwork. Like, she was Russian. And in that movie.
She wanted to get out. She was she wanted out. But I want to just be normal. They didn't let her. This one, she's like, she didn't want to be normal. She was just kind of forced into it. But then she came back out. Now, the thing is, at the end of this movie, of course, she ends up, you know, she's like on the farm with the family. Yeah, great, beautiful. She's going to live her peaceful life. She's rich. But you're telling me you can't think of like a storyline where someone comes after her in her peaceful life and maybe they kill the husband or they kidnap the kid or something, you know, again or something.
Yeah.
She goes after him. I would have been there for it, but didn't happen. I don't want to see it. Gina Davis too old.
I will say this. This would be a movie I would enjoy as a remake with a good writer and director and good. Maybe Jennifer Garner. Ooh, she would be great for this.
It might be a little too old,
but I would like to see her.
She's got to be someone in her 30s.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like someone in their 30s. Who's in their 30s now? Emily Blunt is in her 30s. Scarlett Johansson. I know she already did Black Widow, but I'm just saying.
Maybe.
You know, they all could play that role. And plus, Charlie Baltimore is a great name. I know there's a rapper named Charlie Baltimore. She stole that name from this movie. Charlie Baltimore is a great character name. Like, what's your spy name? Charlie Baltimore.
Charlene
Baltimore. Yeah, it's pretty good. Charlene. I like it. That could have been the second movie. They could have gone the second one, Charlie Baltimore. That would have been awesome. You don't have to call it The Long Kiss Goodnight 2. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Been
maybe.
Sick.
Anyway. It could be. You know what to do, Nate. Yeah.
All right. So that is The Long Kiss Goodnight. Next week, you'll be getting 2 more brand new episodes. We will be doing Rush Hour 2, which has been a minute since I've seen, but I always remember loving Rush Hour 2 more than 1. But I don't remember. We'll see. And then our final patron voted movie will be from Jonathan, our patron Jonathan. He chose the movie Kick-Ass. So our first, I think that's, is that like our first kind of comic book movie that wasn't, we only did, we don't did do Black a lot Panther. Of comic book movies. Though. We did Black Panther and that's pretty it. Much it.
Yeah.
So we haven't dipped our, we've only barely dipped our little pinky baby toe into comic book movies. Kick-Ass will be the next one we're going to be doing. So you want to definitely keep an eye out for those two next week.
Yeah. So if you want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at NateFlixReviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called NateFlix Movie Reviews. Anything Action Movie Guys Podcast. Follow us on Instagram at Action Movie Guys Podcast. We're working on a website. It'll be available soon, hopefully. But other than that, that is your host,
Nate from Netflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Alex Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.